This is the Generation Example Podcast.
I started a series a couple weeks ago in something we're calling Foundations, and we talked about the fact that this idea of a foundation is important no matter what you're building. If you have a house you're building, you need a foundation. If you have a relationship you're trying to build, whether it's a family relationship or a husband-wife relationship, they all need good foundations. Anything that you're building needs to have a foundation. And so we talked about, as a ministry, Generation Example, what is our foundation here? And we've been looking at the verse 1 Timothy 4:12. And that verse is really our foundational verse for what we're doing in this ministry. It's why we have it graffitied on the wall. If you guys didn't know, that wall is basically 1 Timothy 4:12 in graffiti form. It says, you know, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example in faith and love and purity and speech and in conduct. And that's really what this ministry is all about. And we talked about a couple weeks ago about the idea of being young. And we want to be able to see our youth as an opportunity, not an excuse. And there's a lot of young people out there that they just give an excuse of why they're messing around or why they're doing that. It's because they're young. And they think that because they're young, they can just do whatever. But I encouraged you guys that really you have a unique opportunity in being young and really to use that opportunity to do awesome things for God. Last week we talked about that we really needed to set that example and what exactly is an example. We said, you know, we talked about the puzzle and we said that, you know, when people try to solve puzzles, what's the first thing they do? They put up that lid and they look at the picture and they need to follow that picture so they can put the puzzle together. And for us as people who set the example, we need to be the picture for people to follow of what it means to follow Christ. And so we've got to work hard to be able to be that picture so other people can follow. And today we're going to finish the verse, and in this last part of the verse, Paul gives us five specific things we can work on if we're going to be people that set the example, and that's really what we're going to be talking about today. But before I get into that, I want to share a quick story with you guys. I'm going to share a story how my love for video games God used to bring an entire family to church. But first, you guys got to understand something about video games. I am the video game era. I mean, when I was a kid, the Atari 2500 dropped, and that changed video games forever, right? It changed everything, right? The Atari 20 Pong and Combat and all these crazy games. And then the next evolution in video games was what? It was the NES, the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, you guys, this is way before your time, but this thing was legit, right? Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Double Dragon, all these sweet games, right? Techno Bowl, they had some great games, right? But here was the thing. What you guys don't realize is back Contra. Did you say Contra? Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start. Okay, so right, here we go. So here's the thing. What you guys don't understand is back in the day, there was a distinction between home video games and arcade video games. That's why back in the day, every 7-Eleven had video games, and you guys don't realize this, but back in the day, all summer long, we'd hang out at 7-Eleven, drinking Slurpees, smashing nickels into quarters so they'd fit the video games, and we'd just be playing video games all day long because we had video games at home, but they weren't the same quality. You guys get that? The arcade games weren't like the home games, but all that changed with Super Nintendo, right? So Super Nintendo came out, right, and all of a sudden, you had arcade-quality video games in your home. And that was like, oh my goodness. So all that to say, I had these little kids that lived down the street from me. I was like in eighth grade. I think Scotty was in third grade and Brian was in fifth grade or sixth grade. And they were kind of rich and their dad got them a Super Nintendo. And we were just like, oh my goodness. So I made friends with them, right? And so, right? So we go over there and I would play video games with them all the time. And their parents would buy them all the new games. And they had Street Fighter 2 and then they had the Game Genie so you can do all the turbo moves. And It was totally legit. And we would play, I would sit there all summer long and we just sat in this room and played video games. And it was just an unbelievable time. But I remember specifically the dad came up to me one day and he pulled me aside. And their dad said, hey, Daniel, come here, I want to talk to you. I was like, all right, you know. And He goes, you know, I just want to thank you for just how you treat my kids. And I was like, really? I'm just playing video games, you know. But in him, it was his, when he saw me interact with his little sons, you know, he's like, he really appreciated me being nice to him. I wasn't mean to him. I wasn't pushing them around. I wasn't being a jerk. I was just coming over and nicely just playing video games with them. I actually really, in my heart, I wasn't using them for the video games. I kind of liked these kids. They were the neighborhood kids, you know, whatever. We just hung out, you know. And I just knew they were younger, but whatever. It was fun, you know. And I remember he asked me, and this I'll never forget this. He asked me, he goes, do you go to church? And I was like, actually, yeah, we go to church every Sunday. And he goes, oh. So I didn't think anything of it. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I'm walking around the block, and I'm going to the park or something, and I see them all dressed up nice, piling into their car. And I'm like, hey, where are you guys going? And they're like, we're going to church. And I was like, oh, they had never, ever gone to church before. And so it clicked on me. He began bringing his entire family to church because of how I acted with his kids while we were playing video games. And that blew my mind. And that was the first time I realized how powerful setting the example can be and how powerful of an influence we can have on people just by simply playing video games. And now, it wasn't the video games that did it, but it was my interaction with them while we played video games. You know, I wasn't being mean. I wasn't acting rude. I wasn't tearing them down. I was just hanging out with them and being a good kid. And that influenced an entire family to go to church. This is the example that I really want to talk to you guys today. If you guys got your handouts, if you guys can write this. Setting the example means you have to be the example. Setting the example means you have to be. Sometimes I think we say we want to do things, but we forget that there's action to what we say. You know, I'll give you guys an example. You could say you want to be a world-class hot dog eating champion. This is Joey Chestnut from San Jose, right? You can say you want to eat 68 hot dogs in 12 minutes. You can say you want to make over $700,000 eating hot dogs, which is crazy, right? It's disgusting, but it's crazy. But here's the deal. If you never put a hot dog in your mouth, you're never going to get there. And I think often, that's a silly example, but I think oftentimes we say a lot of things. We may say, you know what, I really want to set the example. You know what, I really want to be a better student. You know what, I really want to be better for my parents. You know what, I really want to be nicer to my brother and sister. And that's good, but sometimes we need to put some concrete kind of action to that. And that's today, that's what Paul is talking about today as we look at this verse. At the last part of the verse, he's giving us five kind of concrete areas that we can begin to really challenge ourselves when we're talking about setting the example. And so if you guys got your Bibles, open up. We're in 1 Timothy 4:12. This is where we've been all week. And just as a review, just to give you guys a little heads up what's going on here. This is an older guy, the Apostle Paul, writing a letter to a younger guy, and the whole idea is he's trying to show this young guy how he can, who he should be as a young kind of pastor, as a young leader, and how he should be as a young Christian in this world. And so what we're doing is we're looking at this verse and asking, how can we apply it to us as young people today? 1 Timothy 4:12. I'm going to read, we're just reading one verse right here. I'm going to read this. This is verse 12. I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to look at it. Specifically the last part of this verse. It says, don't let anyone, that means nobody, look down on you because you are young, but we need to set that example for believers, right? And here's the five things he talks about: in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Five things. Now, there's probably more than five things we can really challenge you guys to set the example in. And today, I really pulled out three of those that I want to talk, I think, specifically to us about how we can specifically see how we can put some action to setting the example. So the first thing we're going to look at is speech, right? And if you guys are following along in your handout, I want you to write this down. It's not always what, but how. Not always what, but how. And now what we're talking about, it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it. And I think, you know, I was young once, and I understand. When I was young, I was trained not to say a bad word in front of my parents. I mean, I could be F word, every other word out there, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I walked through that door, my parents were in there. I was Not another swear word came out of my mouth. I was trained like a dog to say the right thing at the right time. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now, right? Because you just learn when to speak and when not to speak. And I think, and you know, it's good not to swear, but I think sometimes we are so focused on swearing that we don't realize that we can actually destroy somebody without ever saying a bad word. We can completely tear somebody down without ever using a four-letter word. Things like gossip, things like sarcasm, things like slander, right? And it's not just what we say out of our mouth, but it's what we're texting to people. It's the comments we make on Facebook. It's the comments we make on Twitter, right? So we need to be careful about the things that we're saying, right? And some of you guys are thinking right now, you know, what are you saying about people on Facebook that maybe you really shouldn't be saying about them? What are you saying to people? And so the whole point is, I don't want us to be so, sometimes I think as Christians, we're so concerned about swear words, and that's good. I'm not saying swearing is okay or anything. I'm just saying speaking is a whole package here. And it's not just about not saying certain words. It's about how are you using your words to encourage rather than destroy. Let me share a verse with you guys. This is a great verse in Ephesians. It says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Right? So one way we can be an example to others is with our mouth, using it as a way to encourage and build people up rather than tearing them down. Build people up rather than tearing them down. Second thing I want to talk about, love. Write this down. It's in your handout. It's not what you feel, but it's what you do. It's not what you feel, but it's what you do. There is a chapter in the Bible called 1 Corinthians 13, and we call this the love chapter. I'm going to read you guys a couple of verses, and what this does, this gives us an idea of what does the Bible call love. What is love in the Bible? It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor other. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. You'll notice in all of that definition, love is not a little warm, cuddly feeling you get inside when you see a good-looking guy or girl walk down the road, right? That's not love. It's not a feeling. It's not you don't fall into love and fall out of love. You choose to love even though you don't feel like it. Very interesting. In many Bible translations, that word love is also translated as charity. And the definition of charity is doing good for other people. And so really at the heart of love is doing good. And so the challenge is, as an example, one way we can set the example and love people is by doing good towards people. Think about it. When was the last time you just did some good old-fashioned good for no reason? The guy this morning raised his hand and says, he was being serious too, he's so funny. He goes, I helped an old lady across the street when the light was red. You know, and people laughed, and it's funny. But honestly, that's cool. Like, good job, dude. Like, he saw somebody in need, and he's like, hey, come on, you know, let's go walk across the street. Like, it's kind of cliche, help the old lady cross the street, but he did it, you know? And I was encouraging him, but think about it. When's the last time you just did some good old-fashioned good? And that is a great way that you can begin to set the example for other people to follow. The last thing we're going to talk about. Purity. Purity. Write this down. Purity begins being. It's a typo up here. Begins with Christ. Purity beings Christ. No, it begins with Christ. Now, here, real quick, purity. I know I'm purity, and I know a lot of you guys are probably thinking I'm going to talk about sex. And sex does have to do with purity, but I just want to share, purity is a much bigger topic than just, there's more than just sexual purity. You could have hatred thoughts in your mind, and those are impure thoughts. You could have selfish thoughts in your mind, and those are very impure thoughts. So I don't want us to think that this is just a sexual thing when we talk about purity, because purity is really a life thing. It covers everything. It's not just sex. And the thing about purity, I'm going to read a verse that Jesus says in a second. Purity begins in the heart. purity begins inside, not outside. And let me read this verse that Jesus says. This is in Matthew, and Jesus talking to all the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were like guys that on the outward they tried to do all the real good things, but on the inward they were really kind of bad people. And so Jesus is talking to them, and he's saying this. He's saying, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And he says, look, it all starts on the inside. It all starts with your heart. If you want to speak pure things, if you want to think pure things, if you want to do pure things, it begins by having a pure heart, and it all flows outward. And really, purity, the way we get a pure heart is by being in a relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's really where purity all begins, and that's also where setting the example begins. Talk about foundations for this verse. Well, the foundation for your life, if you want to be a person that sets the example, it begins with allowing God to purify your heart through a relationship with God, through the cross, through what Jesus did on the cross. And it's interesting because you can try all you want to clean up the outward, to do better things, to say better things, to be a better person, but if you don't fix the issue at the heart, it's not going to work. And I know for me, part of my challenge my challenge growing up was the alcohol, partying, drug thing, and I tried many times, many different ways to quit or to be better and all that, and it all failed. And it wasn't until I allowed God into my heart that it was like I didn't have to try. I didn't have to try to stop doing these things. I just didn't want to do them anymore. Because I allowed God to change me on the inside. And once he did, the outside followed. And so I want to encourage you guys, really, if you want to begin setting that example, the foundation of that, the beginning of that, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close. I just want to say this. You know, we all this talk about being an example. I hope I'm not just saying, I want you to be an example because God says so. Because that's really not the message that I'm trying to portray. I want us to be an example because God created us to do so. It is our purpose, and he created us so that we could be the example. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I think we forget sometimes. There is no greater joy in life than being who God has created you to be and doing what God has created you to do. Right? I don't care how much money you think you need, how much material things you have, how many relationships you had, nothing will bring you love and hope and happiness like being who God created you to be. And so by being an example, by following after Jesus, you are going to find that your life has more joy, more purpose, and more fruitfulness in everything than you could ever imagine. I know a lot of people who have tried a lot of things, and myself have tried a lot of things to find happiness. But there is no place I would rather be today. There's no amount of money I would rather be making today than being right here doing what I'm doing with you guys. Because this is the example God has called me to have. And so I just want to encourage you guys going forward today to really find out who God is calling you to be and challenge yourselves to be that example for people around you. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for us to come in here and to learn, Lord, what it means to set the example for other people to follow, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us guard our mouths, Lord, and be aware, Lord, of the things we're saying to other people and the fact that people are watching us, Lord, and they're following us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for, Lord, the things we do and the way we love, Lord, and how we treat people, Lord. And I also just pray, Lord, for just that relationship with you, Lord. I pray for those in this room, Lord, who maybe they haven't made that decision yet, Lord, but they're wondering and they're seeking, Lord, and they're questioning, what does that mean, Lord? I pray, Lord, that you would be with them today, Lord, and you'd help them to understand who you are, Lord, and that you would show them, Lord, like we sang today, how you love them, Lord, and how you care for them, Lord. I pray for those who are here today, Lord, just struggling with hurt and pain, Lord. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's the loss of a friend, Lord. Maybe it's a boyfriend-girlfriend breakup, Lord, and they're really hurting, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would comfort them right where they're at, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every young person in here, Lord, you would continue to show them what it means, Lord, set the example for those around you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.